Blog Talk Radio.
Reader's Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to Reader's Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Ed English, and my guests this week are three amazing women who are going to inspire, inform, and hopefully educate us as well. For our listeners, feel free to call into the show to chat with us if you have questions at 646-200-4071, or you can always drop into the chat room and post a question there if you'd like. I'm going to introduce each of our guests one at a time and give them each a particular question. So let me start and introduce our first guest, Cherie DeMayo. Cherie is founder and chief marketer of SLD Unlimited, a full-service marketing, consulting, and strategy firm that she established in 1984. Cherie helps owners of startup and small to medium-sized companies become more savvy managers and marketers by providing innovative operational and marketing guidance, solutions, and services. And you can find out more about Cherie and SLD Unlimited at www.sldunlimited.com. Welcome, Cherie.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us. So let me just go ahead and hit you with a question right off the bat.
Sure.
What is the biggest mistake that you see startup companies making today?
Well, over 26 years, I've seen it for this long. Basically, startup companies think they have to start marketing once they open their doors, and very savvy business owners understand that the marketing begins several months before they open their doors.
So that's been a historical trend.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's something I've been trying to shift for many, many years, and so I love it when I work with businesses that come to me before they open their doors so we can help build that fabulous strategy to help them literally have business coming into their door the first day.
So then what is an example of a company that gets the idea then, somebody who did it right? What was their, initial strategy?
Well, when I was on the show the last time, I talked about a formula for success called the CRISP principle, and it's C-R-I-S-P, and there are various combinations of this CRISP principle depending on where the company is. And in this particular case, with a startup, let me tell you what the C-R-I-S-P is. C is customer relations, R is for referrals, I is for internet, S is for strategic involvements, and P is for public relations. Well, when you're starting a business, you don't have customers yet, obviously. So the C doesn't happen until you get them coming to the door. So what you have to do is look at those last four aspects, but you do them in a different order in order for it to be effective. So before the business starts, you have to build a referral network and you have to get strategically involved. And a company that did this so beautifully, that's featured in a book of mine that's coming out, is an optometry practice, a husband-wife optometry practice, that about 6 to 9 months before they opened their doors, they got strategically involved in community organizations, civic, charitable, you name it, so that people got to know them before their practice opened. They built an incredible referral network of collaborating physicians, people that, that specialize maybe in dentistry that would be serving the markets that they are serving. So basically what happened when they opened their doors, people already knew they existed, and they literally had booked appointments. Then when they opened their doors, they had an incredible internet presence, and they used public relations to make announcements, including charitable contributions they were making right out the gate to make a difference in the community. So they got incredible press, and so literally they started out the gate with patients in their door the very first day. And it resulted in, they opened in 2004, and by year end they had, starting with zero patients, had 800 patients, and today have over 3,600 patients.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I call that formula that R plus S plus I plus P equals go and grow.
Great. Now, our next guest, Deborah Chaddock Brown, has opened a company called All Right, Inc., but prior to that, she was the director of communications for Cole National, a $1 billion national optical retailer, speaking of optometrists.
I know. I was listening with great joy. That's a good story.
As the head of communications there, her responsibilities included ensuring corporate initiatives, products, and values were communicated to the executives, field management, store associates, and franchise owners in a method that was clear, concise, and understood. Overall, Deborah's 25-plus years of experience in the sales, multi-unit management, training, and communication fields benefit her clients, as she has the ability to look at a communication need from both the end user and the company perspective. You can learn more about Deborah at her site, www.allwrightinc.com, and that's allwriteinc.com. Welcome, Deborah.
Well, hi. I'm so excited to be here. I am already learning and taking notes.
I guess I should say welcome back, since you've also been here as well.
Yes.
Deborah, what do you see as one of the biggest mistakes that people are making when they're trying to create online relationships?
Well, I think it primarily deals with a misunderstanding of the term social media. They focus on the word media as opposed to the word social, in that they see this opportunity of using LinkedIn and blogging and Facebook and Twitter as a way to push their information out, not understanding that they need to spend more time actually engaging in conversations with their competition, with industry leaders, with primarily their potential customers or their actual customers, asking questions and listening to what's being said and responding and really focusing in on that social aspect. That's how you build relationships. Just because you're visible and you're active on social media in terms of pushing information out doesn't mean you're building relationships. It doesn't mean that you're being effective with your internet presence in terms of building relationships. It just means if you're out there, just talking about yourself, that's not a way to build relationships. When you think about a relationship that you would have with a friend, how long are you going to have that friend if you do all the talking and all the talking is about you? So it's the same thing, mistake I see people using with the Internet, is that they're talking about themselves rather than listening.
Well, you know, that's very similar to what Cherie said about those folks who had made those relationships in a social environment, that rather than trying to establish business in that case. So do you have an example of somebody, a success story, who has, was able to accomplish those, online relationships successfully?
I actually have someone that immediately pops to mind, someone that I used to work with at Cole, who went on to work in another field. He was a director level in marketing, and he uses LinkedIn as his primary tool. And rather than just using it as a way to have the most business cards, be the person with the most names at the end of the day winning a game, he sees it as an opportunity of giving back. LinkedIn gives you an email once a week that has a status update, and it shows you who in your network is connected to someone else. And how he uses that email is he looks through to see who in his network has connected to someone that he doesn't know. And he'll take a moment to go and look and see who that third person is that's been connected. So say Cherie and I have just now been connected, and he would see that Cherie is now connected to JJ, who we're going to meet in just a moment. He would go to JJ's profile, look and see what her field is of work. Think of somebody he already knows in his network that might benefit her, and he'd send an email to Cherie and say, listen, I see you just connected with JJ, and I have somebody in my network that would be a perfect match. I really think the two of them should meet. So if there's a way that I can benefit and bring that about, please let me know. He does that every week. He spends about 30 minutes to an hour every week working his LinkedIn network to see how he can give back. The happy story is that in January of 2009, when the economy was not exactly its best, he lost a director-level position. And what he did was he let his network know. This is a network who has come to learn of him as being somebody who gives back, who's a connector, somebody that knows other people. Within 3 weeks, he had 3 job opportunities. January of 2009, the height of when, you know, people were really looking for positions to have a director-level opportunity, three different ones, was because he had built those relationships up. People knew him, they trusted him, they valued his opinion, and they saw him as a connector. He had truly and continues to truly build relationships using the Internet. It was phenomenal.
Wow, so he built relationships himself by building relationships for others. That's
exactly, exactly.
Neat concept.
He wasn't looking for a give back. He was looking to give to others. But then when he needed something, he had a network of people who knew him, trusted him, and wanted to help him.
Right. That's a great concept. Now, Deborah, you and Cherie both have been on the show before with Sheila, and I want to thank you for coming back. But our new guest is J.J. DiGeronimo. J.J. is bold and effective as she advises Fortune 500 companies toward next-generation data centers to support IT service architectures. That's something that I can speak to. J.J. works to empower women in technology and is the creator of the site Purposeful Women, which you can find at purposefulwoman.com. J.J., thank you for joining us. Can you tell us some more about Purposeful Woman and why that's important to you?
Sure. First, I just want to thank you so much for being included with such wonderful women and yourself. It really is such an honor. Purposeful Woman came about really just an evolution from my own self-journey, and once I started asking questions of my peers and some of my mentors and senior women leaders that I interact with, I really became aware that this is much more than just sort of my inner turmoil of understanding that, you know, even though you check all the boxes that society has set forth for you, schooling, marriage, kids, house in the suburbs, you know, having the right car, the right clothes, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be happy and content. And Purposeful Woman is really a journey of women to redefine the plans for themselves and ignite their passion.
Okay. You know, keeping with the theme, I mean, you've all touched on, you know, relationships. Why is it important, JJ, for women to connect with each other and build those relationships?
You know, just like any type of business, you know, there really is no way, it's almost impossible to do anything by yourself. You really need the help of friends and family and coworkers and mentors to really pull you through to where you need to be in life. And identifying the energy sources in your life that really identify people that can be positive, upbeat, and really support you on the journey is so important. You know, it takes, you know, it's really up to you to make the step forward, but it really takes your infrastructure and the network of people around you to pull you through to the other side.
Okay. Can you give us, I've been asking for examples, do you have a success story or a case study maybe from your experience?
Yeah, so it's really great. So when I started the process of writing the book that will be out after the first of the year, it really was about my journey of how, you know, after you check all these boxes and you realize, you know, I'm just really not that happy. I've made all these choices, and independently these choices make sense, but as you combine all the choices and layers of complexity, you know, each individual choice may not be that great alone. So I actually interviewed over 20 women for the book that basically were very successful career women that have worked throughout their life to redefine their own individual plan, to not only ignite the passion within themselves, but really it has evolved to doing for others, and very similar to what Deb just mentioned is, you know, actually going out of your way to help other people without expecting anything in return. And I have numerous stories of women that have started their own businesses. A woman by the name of Kathy has started her own business after realizing that she was in a high-end negotiation. She was a lawyer for years and years and realized that she really was in green living and had started a very successful green business. I have other women that have basically quit their jobs and basically just started working in the garden for a few months, and it came to them that they'd be much better as an artist instead of working in a corporate setting. And I think it's really just taking the time, taking a breath, investing in inventorying yourself to understand what value you bring the world, what you could do that no one else can do, what God-given gifts you've been given, and how do you actually tap into those and actually make a living out of making a difference.
Well, from those women, and I don't necessarily want to give away the ending to your book, but is there some common theme or commonality that each of those have that that really makes an impact on their success?
Yes. I think at every one of the women I've spoken with, there's an intersection point in their life where they basically have given themselves permission to ask themselves tough questions, to really start to get to know themselves and be okay to change direction from where they started. There's a lot of women that have made choices throughout their lives, throughout their 20s and into their 30s that really just are not working for them. And really being bold and being true to their calling and true to themselves and saying, you know, I need to change or alter the choices I've made to date to create a better life for myself and make a better impact in the world.
Interesting. That's the concept of giving yourself permission is probably unfamiliar to a lot of people.
Very much so. Very much so.
Now that each of you have had a chance to speak from your individual perspectives, I'm going to ask you one question, and then we'll just kind of go around and have everybody answer it. The question is, what do you do or to whom do you turn when you want to get validation that you're on the right track with wherever you, you know, whatever your goals are or whatever your plan is? Cherie?
Yeah. Well, you know, JJ, I have to comment that, you know, this question leads right into beautifully, segues right into beautifully what JJ was talking about, because we can't operate in a vacuum. No one can operate in a vacuum. And too often, in my first book, I have a section that deals with fearful thinking and wishful thinking. And one of the wishful thinkings I hear a lot is, if only I had more support. And what I've found in working with entrepreneurs over 26 years is a lot of times they don't have support because they're not really opening themselves up to that support. And so the key is to create these opportunities. There's a fabulous statistic out there that people who achieve goals are 7 times more likely to share their goals with others. So part of what you need to do and what I have made a practice of doing is having this wonderful support network like what JJ was talking about to keep a pulse on things, to run ideas by these people. And so one way I do it is I have a mastermind group that I meet with every month, and we have a shared kind of theme of what we're all trying to do in this group, totally different businesses, totally different industries, but we bounce things off of each other. We learn from each other. It's amazing the resources we gain from each other. And so that's one way. But the other way is also within my company and within just my circle of influence and my sphere of resources and support is getting that validation just because I open myself up for them to give me feedback on a regular basis through the ways I communicate out there, through a monthly e-zine, through my national writing. Just there's so many ways that then you get that validation back because you open yourself up to, as Deborah was saying, building a relationship with people where they feel very comfortable sharing their thoughts back with you. So, and it's very powerful. And sometimes it helps you shift sometimes when you need to shift.
Okay. Well, Deborah, how about you? What do you do or to whom do you turn?
Well, I think that Cherie really hit it on the head there. We have to be open to having the mirror held up and truly looking at ourselves and our accomplishments and the path that we're heading down, and make sure it's where we wanted to head. Two thoughts that come to mind. The first is that very rarely do we understand what our true value is to our customers. We think we know, but until we actually ask our customers, we don't really know why it is that they continue to do business with us or why they turn to us in the first place. So I like to ask my customers on an occasional basis, am I providing what it is that you're needing? Am I making your life easier? Is this what you were hoping for? Why is it that you come to me, to see whether or not I am, in fact, on the right path? And, that's an important an important aspect to be getting feedback from the people that you're actually wanting to be doing business with. The other thing is to look at our goals from the end rather than from the beginning of the journey. So to think about what our goal is, what it's going to look like when we get there. Just kind of think about that, picture what the measurements are to know that we've been successful, and then work our way backward from there. And to periodically take a pulse and see, you know, is what I'm doing today leading me to that ultimate goal? And truly being honest, it's so easy to get distracted in life with the shoulds, as JJ says, you know, the boxes that we should be checking off. And do those boxes, when they're checked off, really lead us to the ultimate goal that we are, that's important for us? And so if we kind of think about the end in mind and then work toward it, I think it's it gives us a better way of measuring whether we're on the right road to success for us, our personal success.
Well, one of the things that my wife, my brilliant wife, always says is that you don't know what you don't know. And you were talking about, you know, checking off the boxes. If I'm in a case where I'm, you know, I've checked off some boxes and I do that evaluation, and I think that that those boxes are leading me to my goal, how can you, you know, how can you then find out what you don't know and make sure? I think I'm on the right track, but I'm not sure.
Well, I think that leads back to what Sheree just said, and I said a little bit as well, that we have to ask others, that we have to open ourselves up. She said that brilliantly. We have to open ourselves up and be willing to be vulnerable and available for feedback from others to find out if we are on are heading down the right path, that we aren't going off in some random direction because of the fact that we're missing some important pieces. We're never going to know on our own. We can't live in a vacuum. As she said, we do have to solicit that information from our peers, our family, and from our customers.
Well, JJ, how about you? Let's have you weigh in.
Well, this is perfect timing. I just finished the chapter on board of directors, and I think exactly what Sheree and Deb are saying is that you have a personal board of directors, and most people do not formalize that, but when you think of something good or bad happening, who do you call? Why do you call them, and what do they offer to your life? And taking sort of an inventory of those people that you are very close to, both on a personal and a business. And what I say is you have different boards of directors for every aspect of your life, every sphere. So if it has to do with your family, you might have a different board. If it's for work, a different. If you're starting a new initiative, it could be a different board. But really the goal is to have people on your board that are honest and forthright, that push you beyond your boundaries and bring you back when you're falling off track. And, you know, you can make it as formal as informal as you want, but allowing these people to know what your end goal is will allow them to be more effective in guiding you to your end result.
That, I mean, that's very poignant. That's incredible. I've never actually thought about it, but I think we all do have that counsel that we run things by. And you're right, it's different for every part of, you know, every aspect of your life. Although I think my mother is the self-appointed chairman of my personal board.
I do mention there's common threads through all of them, but there may be different people in different seats.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So let me ask you all another question. You know, right off the bat, I heard Deborah say something about taking notes. And, you know, we've been talking about these relationships. We all, you know, have something to learn from each other. You know, sometimes it's from a brief encounter with somebody. Sometimes it's from a relationship that we had for a long time. You know, in these last, you know, we've been talking for about 20 minutes. Is there anything that, you know, a point, a tidbit, a nugget of wisdom that each of you have gleaned from this conversation? Sheree, you first.
Yeah, I have to say it's interesting because I was just telling myself that LinkedIn is one area that on the social media front that I have, you know, done the profile thing. I have accumulated a lot of connections, but haven't really, I know, leveraged it the way that I could. Yeah, and you know, but the thing is that you know, what you propose to do, I do in every other realm that I'm involved in. So it was like a big aha, hello, Sheree, you just do the same thing there too. You know, it's So, mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that little, you know, wonderful nudge, Deborah, very, very much.
Well, good.
Deborah, how about you? You were the one taking notes.
Well, I of course, have learned from both wonderful women here today. Cherie reminded me of the value giving back within the community. You know, I'm always talking to my customers about that 3-mile radius that they have that they should become known in and around their business. And it's so very important to make sure you're giving back. And I loved her idea of before you even open your doors, being involved in the community, being visible in the community so that people are already recognizing your name and already beginning to make a connection with you so that it's almost like old home week when you open your door. And I loved that thought. And, of course, I love JJ's idea about giving yourself permission. That is just such a beautiful phrase, a beautiful gift that we can give ourselves that we never do. We never think about particularly women, and I can't speak to the man's psyche here at all, but I know women, you know, we're busy with our careers, we're busy with our family, with our community, with our church, and we so rarely take the time, even something as simple as sitting down and enjoying a little Dark Dove chocolate or a bubble bath or something that's just so totally and completely selfish and just for us. That whole idea of giving yourself permission, I love.
And JJ, how about you?
I'd have to say the same. I mean, for both women, I mean, just amazing to spend this time with them. And from Cherie, it's, you know, I'm actually working with Deb right now to Cherie's point of getting things set up. So when the book comes out, we already have a network of women that are communicating. And I think that, you know, for us as women, we have some great ideas. And to your point, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So involving people in the conversation early and often is so eye-opening and honestly so energizing. So, you know, I could talk for hours with these women. Just a wonderful, wonderful session.
I agree.
Well, and I could, too. you talked about the male psyche. I think, you know, a lot of these principles apply, you know, to men just as well. But I think men have a lot harder time creating personal relationships. You know, I can go out and I can, you know, donate something or I could, you know, whatever. But it's that personal connection that men really need to work on.
Well, you know, Ed, I can definitely speak to that because when I was doing interviews and identifying success stories for my first book, Me, Myself, and Inc., which was about synergizing your life and your business so you love them both, okay? And I came across wonderful examples of entrepreneurial men that were able to embrace that family and make that as much a priority as their business. And I specifically made sure I chose men that were struggling with that versus women, because everyone thinks that women do it, but men do too. Men, especially after 9/11, men, you know, kind of got this wake-up call and said, you know what, you know, I want my family around me, not my business around me, when you know, that kind of stuff. And so it was exciting. It was exciting to see that that shift and that priority being very vocalized by men that, you know, these personal relationships are very important and we are going to make them a priority.
Exactly. And that piano music tells us that our time is almost up. Ladies, I want to thank all very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much
thank
for having
me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
And as always, I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. You'll be able to download a podcast of the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/circle-of-7. It's also available from iTunes, Odeo, Blueberry, and many other online sites. The show will be available about an hour after we're done here. And you can follow up with any questions or look for links that we'll be posting to these ladies' websites at our blog at readersentertainment.tv/radio. And I've got a couple seconds, so I'm going to go ahead and plug www.sldunlimited.com for Cherie and www.allwriteink.com for Deborah and www.purposefulwoman.com for JJ. Again, thank you, ladies, and I hope everyone has a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.